Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to our third and final hour on this Thursday, December 10th edition of the Hagman & Hagman Report. Just 15 days till Christmas, all of those of you waiting and counting.
We're going to do, and if this is all right with you, I guess we're going to do some
who?
Show prep.
Who's you? Me?
Joe. Maybe we should do a show about, and Eric. No, got to get his input in JD.
I don't agree.
Wow, did you hear that, folks? I think what we should do is we really talk about Christmas and the. We did this 1 year. I don't know when we did this. It was maybe 3 years ago. Before Christmas.
I'm
talking about Saturnalia, and the, you know,
that
really
was a few years ago.
The meaning of the Christmas tree.
And I got something on.
I had talked to Marie Canise, the author of Prepare for Persecution. Okay, now she said, you know, we're not Druids. And that's true. Okay, we're not Druids, but we'll deal with that at another time. Go ahead. You know what, folks? Before you get further along, two things. How you feeling? You okay?
I feel great today.
After how come you didn't shave?
I didn't shave or get a haircut today. I actually went to get a haircut. This is a funny story, and no offense to any old ladies out there.
I went to go
get a haircut, and one older lady was getting a haircut or having her hair done, and the lady said it would be like 5-10 minutes wait. Well, I was there 15 minutes or so, 20 minutes, and this lady in the chair decided to get a perm. So she's like, "It's going to be like a half hour, hour."
That's what happens. So you got on the way. Super cuts or sharp cuts or whatever those places are.
Yeah, best cuts it was.
Best cuts.
And then
great cuts.
And then it was my fault for not going earlier.
Actually, I have a Flobee. Remember those? Do they still make those? Anyway.
But,
yeah.
Yeah. So.
And I got to tell you a funny story today. I had an appointment this morning. Well, it's a long story, but anyway. No, you know what? I almost got in the wrong car today again. Can you believe that?
Again?
I had so much on my mind.
Are you even doing the Hagman Diabetic Health Protocol?
Actually, you know, but I had so much on my mind, really, these vehicles, all when you have a nondescript vehicle, and it's just, you know, I don't know. So anyway, I made this. I grabbed the door handle, and this woman was actually about ready to put it in reverse, and her eyes got like, you know, like saucers.
And folks, I've witnessed this firsthand before.
I just went like this. I said, "I'm sorry," you know. My vehicle was went over, and then she started laughing and stuff. So, but I almost sat on her. I was going to sit on her lap. I don't know. So one of these days, they're probably gonna get shot by doing that. Anyway, folks, how you feeling? Right, healthmasters.com. Dr. Ted Brewer, who's gonna be on a week from tomorrow. What a wonderful guy! I feel great, and Joe, I know you did too. We take Health Masters supplements, and we can tell the difference between the supplements you get at Walgreens, Walmart, whatever, versus what you get at Health Masters. It's just a tremendously different. The quality is excellent, and what they make, and they're very precise protocols for like blood sugar. And I got to tell you, man, my blood sugar has been under control using their supplements. And fantastic. And sign up for their newsletter, healthmasters.com. It's just not about health. It's about, Dr. Brewer is a fantastic mind. And if you've heard him, his last program on Morgellons disease, my goodness, that went viral and in its own way. And geopolitical events, tremendous. So healthmasters.com, and our good friends at American Survival Wholesale, americansurvivalwholesale.com. If you haven't visited them recently, do so. And folks, the gift of, just like Health Masters, just like all of our sponsors, they're useful. The gift of preparation. If you're into gift giving at this time of year, why not? Why not give your family member the ability to weather a storm, to weather a crisis? Do so. It's a, And these companies are Christian-owned. In the case of American Survival Wholesale, veteran-owned, Christian-owned. Folks, you can't get any better than that. They got top-quality people. So, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. And while you're at it, too, and we don't talk enough about Katie from...
Essential Oil.
Yeah, Family Essential Shop. Visit Katie Whelan, her website. Go to HagmanHagman.com. Find the Essential Oils logo. Click on that site. And the Essential Oils are so good for you. So, all of that together. All right, let's get into some stuff. Go ahead.
I wanted to hit this first before we hit the news, because we were just talking about Christmas. And last night, I have this way I go through PDFs. I was Manly Hall's book, The Secret Teaching of All the Ages. I have it on PDF format, like I do many books, whether they're free or you have to purchase them. It's usually very cheap. And there's a feature on the PDFs called Read Out Loud. So I set it on Read Out Loud, and it has this computerized voice, and it reads to you. Mm-hmm. But you can do something else, you know, take notes and
right.
Cross-reference. So it's very helpful. But I was listening to this book yesterday, and I heard...
Kind of like the old book on tape.
...story, and it's just two paragraphs here I'm going to go through, because it's very important, and it deals with Christmas. And this is chapter, if anybody's interested. I don't know what the chapter is, but it is The Great God Pan. Is the subtitle. And it says, Pan was celebrated as the author and director of the sacred dances in which he was supposed to have instituted to symbolize the luminaries of the heavenly body. Pan was a composite creature, the upper part, with the exception of his horns, being human, the only lower part in form of a goat. Pan is the prototype of natural energy, and while undoubtedly a phallic deity, should nor be confused with Priapus. The pipes of Pan signify the natural harmony of the spheres, and the god himself is a symbol of Saturn, because of this planet is enthroned in Capricorn, whose emblem is the goat. Mm-hmm. The Egyptians were initiated into the mysteries of Pan, who is regarded as a phase of Jupiter. Now, what was important here? As I was listening, it got into a little bit of the history, and it says in Perigea, there existed a remarkable school of religious philosophy which centered around the life and ultimately fate of another savior god, lowercase g, known as Attis, or Attis, by many considered synonyms with Adonais. This deity was born at midnight on the 24th day of December. Of his death, there were two accounts. One, he was gored to death like Adonais in the order. Another, he emasculated himself under a pine tree and there died. His body was taken to a cave by the Great Mother, Sibyl, where it remained through the ages without decaying. To the rites of Attis, the modern world is indebted for the symbolism of the Christmas tree. Attis imparted his immortality to the tree beneath which he died, and Sibyl took the tree with her when she removed the body. Now, this is Isis, and Sibyl is Isis here. And it goes on to explain this, but Attis remained 3 days in the tomb and rose upon a date corresponding with Easter morning. By this resurrection overcame the death for all who were initiated into his mysteries. In the mysteries of the Priapians, says Julius Firmicius, which are called those of the mother of the gods, every year a pine tree is cut down, and inside of the tree the image of a youth is tied in. The mysteries of Isis, the trunk of the pine tree is cut. The middle of the trunk is nicely hollowed out. The idol of Arias is made from those hollowed pieces, is burned. In the mysteries, a porcupine, a tree is cut down, put together into effigy in form of the Virgin. When it has been carried within the city, it is mourned 40 nights, and 40 nights it is buried. And it goes on to explain before and after the verses, or the paragraph I just read, the story behind this. You know, we hear in the Bible the Great Mother of Harlots and whatnot. But, you know, this is like the seventh time I've heard a story that deal with the virgin birth, the tomb, the death, and then corresponding resurrection. And, you know, we talked about this the other day. We see this with this Krishnu and the Hindu, and...
Right.
Where there's all these mythologies and beliefs of people who were died and resurrected 3 days later, that before Jesus. The movie Zeitgeist tries to use these as fact and say that Jesus was like another man or another savior.
Person. And this is the reason this is important is because this will be part of the deception. When you talk about the Merovingian bloodline, and folks, you can do your own research on this. The Merovingian bloodline will be the Antichrist. I believe will come from the tribe of Dan. I believe it's ultimately from the tribe of Dan, and I believe that the DNA will be used to identify this tie to Jesus Christ, and it's going to be a lie, but nonetheless, this is what is coming out of. I mean, this is what this references, and you can get into the virgin-born gods, small g, when you look into really history, and especially mythological style history. You know, in Greece, folks, it became so common that where young maidens claiming a paternity for their male offspring by a god. In other words, they're saying, look, I was impregnated immaculately by my god, small g. And of course, in Greece, it became so common that the reigning king issued a verdict decreeing the death of all young women who should offer such an insult to deity as a. But what you said, you know, about, well, even Osiris, the virgin mother of Osiris, claimed that he was begotten by the father of all gods. So when you look at the mythological aspects of things,
Mirtha is another one.
Right.
Which is the same god they say the Persians gave to whom they worship by the name Mirtha, and whom they caused to be born in a grotto, and is represented by being born in a stable under the name of Christ by the Christians. It all coincides, these mystery religions trying to emulate or.
They're all counterfeit.
Yep.
They're counter. Because, you know, and this kind of. Boy, this reminds me of Obama in some respects, and I'm not saying Obama's
an Antichrist. This is why we're
okay.
Covering.
All right, but you know, just think about this: the questionable lineage and parentage of Obama. I just find that very interesting in his comments: "Born in a stable, not born in a stable or manger, whatever." And his references that he has made in jest. Make of it what you will. It doesn't matter, okay? But the fact of the matter is, what Joe's talking about is the ancient religion, the ancient mythologies and religions dealing with the god small g will have an impact on the current state of affairs, because embedded within all of this are the secret societies that have resulted from the mythological entities and mythology. Mm-hmm. And the secret societies such as Skull and Bones, and especially the Skull and Bones. Andy Sutton wrote a great book, God rest his soul, about the Skull and Bones. But having said all of that, Coach Dave Dobmeier, which I referenced earlier, talking about this unseen hand. Well, look into who's actually running things. And I think the CFR, Skull and Bones, Committee of 300, Council of 300, that is, and Order of the Garter, Jesuits, the offsprings thereof. Yeah, behind the scenes. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, so we have these. This is what we see here are the church embracing the traditions of paganism.
Right.
Through accepting the customs that, as Jesus said, I abhor your solemn feast days, and I'm paraphrasing. And there's other references that he makes to traditions of men and holidays. And then he clearly says in Isaiah 28, for precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, which is talking about his precepts, how
right.
We learn. But in Manly Hall's book here, he writes the paganism was embodied by Christianity. The Christian church blindly follows the ancient pagan customs, and when asked for a reason, gives superficial and unsatisfactory explanations, which, in a way, we do, because the pagans is our sun worship, S-U-N, and the sun is also...
I'm glad you brought that up. I got to interrupt. The winter equinox.
That's exactly what I was going for.
So December 21st. People, and again, it doesn't matter, folks, if you believe this.
Right. The virgin birth and the resurrection.
Watch events around these sun events, whether it be the winter equinox, spring. Okay, watch the events, because a lot of events are controlled to take place around these specific dates. Go ahead.
Okay, the whole reason we bring this up, while we're talking about reading from The Secret Teachings of All the Ages by Manly Hall, is because of a comment the Pope made last week that I didn't see till yesterday, last evening, and it really caught my attention. Pope Francis says, fundamentalism is a disease of all religion. Pope Francis, this is from December 1st, Pope Francis said that fundamentalism was a disease of all religions, including the Roman Catholic Church, but had nothing to do with God. Fundamentalism is always a tragedy. It is not religious, and it's not.
No.
It lacks God. No, it doesn't. It's idolatrous. Depending on what you your religion, quote unquote. But on the plane from his return to Africa, the Pontiff told journalists, Francis said Islam was not the only religion to suffer from violent extremists, such as the ones that were behind the attacks in Paris, which were claimed by the Islamic State. Now, I don't know what fundamentalism has to do with the Paris attacks, but he says, we Catholics, we have a few, even many fundamentalists. They believe they know absolute truth and corrupt others. He said, adding, I can say this because this is my church. Well, and the article ends from Newsmax saying, this man is dangerous, which they are correct. Right. Fundamentalism is, by definition, is a religious belief that the scriptures are literal, a literal belief in the biblical scriptures.
Then I guess I'm fundamental. I'm a fundamentalist.
Absolutely we are. And we take these literally, and we the scripture literally, and we believe it word by word, not varying a jot or a tittle.
Well, and yeah, that's right.
I mean, the Pope has said some alarming things from personal relationship with Jesus Christ outside of the Roman Catholic Church is dangerous. Atheists don't need to know Jesus to go to heaven.
Yeah, that's a problem.
There's
folks.
a whole mess of stuff that the Pope has said that does not line up in any way, shape, or form with anything even a mega preacher would say.
We've had the privilege of talking with people like Tom Horn and Chris Putnam off air, and talking about this particular Pope. And you know, we had Tom Horn and Chris Putnam on with Steve Quayle before Benedict resigned and Francis came on scene. Okay,
yeah,
and they nailed it, and now we've got this Jesuit Pope who is Jesuit. And you know, look, folks. I went to a Jesuit minor seminary, okay? I went to a seminary. It was a Jesuit seminary. It was a minor seminary. And I graduated from that. And I got people saying, oh, you're a Jesuit. No, you know what? I never even knew, and I'm serious about this, I never really knew what a Jesuit was. In fact, in the seminary, we learned more about church history than we did about biblical history, history of the Roman Catholic Church, the church history. The only time I picked up a Bible in that seminary was when I went to morning prayers, evening prayers, Mass, right? Yeah. But that was long ago. So there's my admission. So have at it, all you people. Go ahead and whatever. The reason I mention that is because you're going to have people say, "Oh, he's a Jesuit." Well, we're calling out Pope Francis, we're calling out the Vatican, we're calling out the lies behind this.
And any Christian religion or named Christian religion that will not teach you the Bible as Jesus commanded.
Right.
And the Pope is the Vicar of Christ. What does the Vicar of Christ mean?
Well,
what does this represent?
I mean, Yeah, well, what does it represent? I could tell you what I was told it represented, but go ahead. I want you to. What is the Vicar of Christ? Vicar of Christ, by definition.
Well, we have a few. The Roman Catholic Church is the title of the Pope.
Right.
We know that. Latin term.
Wait.
Vicarius Christus.
You see, you didn't take Latin. I was 3 years old in school.
In different ways, with different theological connotations throughout history, as the original notion. A vicar is a earthly representative of God or Christ, but also used in the sense of a person acting as parish priest in place of a real person. The title is used in Catholicism to refer to the bishop, and more specifically to the Bishop of Rome, the Pope.
Vicarious. So think about this. Vicar comes from the Latin term vicarius. Have you ever acted
vicariously?
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. That's as a substitute or lived vicariously through someone else. That, by definition, is a substitute. So, in other words, what we were taught when I went to the seminary, I was taught that the Pope is the embodiment, the living, human, breathing substitute of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what we were taught. And therefore, infallible in terms of what he spoke and said and did. And a lot of Roman Catholics and Catholics will embrace that infallibility and misrepresent, well, be deluded, I guess is the way to put it, be deluded into thinking that the Pope is infallible as Jesus because he is the vicar of Jesus Christ, meaning vicariously or substitute thereof, Latin. And there you go. So that's where they go off the rails.
Yeah. And as being a representative of God on earth, whether you're acting as his representative or you are the representative or God on earth, whichever one he believes he is, wouldn't you be a fundamentalist? I mean, wouldn't you have to be?
Well, I think all Christians all Christians who follow the Bible are fundamentalists.
Not all.
No, I'm talking.
Who follow the Bible?
Okay, if you believe in the Bible as a literal inerrant as the literal inerrant Word of God, and if you believe that Jesus Christ is your only way to heaven, then you're a fundamentalist. Christian fundamentalist, I believe. And maybe there might be... And if you've asked... Well, I think those are... Did I miss anything?
No.
Okay, so there you go. Just as, on the other side of the coin, we are being lied to by the media because they're saying Islam has been hijacked. It's a religion that's hijacked. First of all, it's not a religion. It's a political system. And at best and at worst, it's a cult. It's a death cult. And the book, the Quran and Hadith, they document that Islam is a religion of war. Basically, war, killing, fighting is mentioned more times in the Quran than prayer.
It's not what the president says.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, and I know because Obama is the shill for the Saudis, as Bush was, as Clinton was, as all the previous presidents were since Saudi Arabia really became a kingdom. But yeah, I mean, Islam has not been hijacked. What has been done to Islam is it's been a PR campaign. Basically, you see, the moderate Muslims are the infidels. The moderate ones are the ones who have hijacked.
I gotta stop
Islam.
You there, because our president said the following in Cairo in 2009. In reference to Islam, he says, "I also know civilizations that the Islam it was Islam at places like Al Azhar that carried the light of learning through many centuries, paving way for the European Renaissance." As a boy, I spent several years in Indonesia.
Really?
And heard the call of the azan at the break of dawn and the fall of dusk. As a young man, I worked at the Chicago communities and found dignity and peace in the Muslim faith. The Islamic culture has given us majestic arches and soaring spires. timeless poetry and cherishing music.
I know, look out at Dearborn.
Throughout history, Islam has demonstrated through words and deeds the possibilities of religious tolerance and racial equality.
So that's why the Muslim women wear bags on their bodies, right? They're in burlap sacks. They put burlap sacks, and they have a slit for their eyes, apparently because they need to see. Otherwise, they're covered up. Is it because they are just inherently, hard to look at physically? If that was the case, I know a lot of people that need burlap sacks like that. I admit, folks, I ain't easy on the eyes, so, blue dot, bag, I don't know. But see, no. But see, people conflate that. That hijab, whatever you want to call it, the different... That's not religious. That's cultural, you see, and people conflate that. We got to talk too. I want to address this because I don't know, Derek. Did you watch that video I sent to you?
I was going to, but I was too busy.
All right, man. I'll tell you what. ISIS has got the, and I'm going to just divert here real quick, and I'm going to kick it back to you. ISIS. This is. I don't know. It was published back June, July, August, something like that. The video. There's an Arabic version and an English version. I don't know if you've seen this. If you have, it's about a 5-6 minute film. It's a video. It's called ISIS. You'll be awash in oceans of blood. Now, I don't recommend you watching this, folks. I really don't.
What was it?
It's ISIS being awash in oceans of blood. We could not broadcast it, okay, because it is so graphically gruesome. The only reason I bring this up is because, and they promise, they're bringing this to our country. Well, it's already here, at least, but however, it's not in the form that it's going to be. But one thing that struck me when I was watching that video, at one point I thought it was a commercial for Toyota. Brand new Toyota trucks. We've talked about this before. Brand new Toyota trucks.
Yeah.
Here are the keys. The half-tracks, whatever you want to call them, the armored personnel carriers, the MRAPs, the... Even the most out-of-touch person, even the Mike Malloys of the country would have to say, wait a minute, did we do this? Did we give the keys? Did we supply ISIS? The Rachel Maddows,
there are actually some on the left who have come out and stated about us, being the suppliers of ISIS.
Then my question is, why aren't people like John McCain, the Gang of Eight, and especially Barack Hussein Obama, Barry Satoru, more accurately, Barry Satoru, his real name, why aren't they being held accountable? Why don't we have issues of seditious? Why don't we go back to the days of Eugene V. Debs, who was through speech, not actions, arrested on 10 counts of sedition? You see, here's the issue. The issue is this regime and the one that preceded it and the one that preceded that one and the one that preceded that one created the entity called ISIS. Now, a vet who was a paratrooper in Vietnam had a conversation with me. He called me up and I recounted this story, I believe it was a week or so ago, and he said, I heard something, and I had to turn around. I couldn't believe this. And this guy served honorably in Vietnam. I mean, he was really a hero. He said, people are saying, this one guy said, the teacher in his class said that the United States created ISIS. And I said, well, got to tell you, kind of did.
Yeah.
Kind of did. What are you talking about?
Oops.
Yeah. And he's a sharpshooter, too, even at his age.
I mean, it's on record. Hillary Clinton, you can still find the video of her saying that we created Al-Qaeda. And we did. And we created Al-Qaeda to fight the Soviet bloc in Afghanistan. or created Al-Qaeda to allow them to fight the Soviets,
you know,
in Afghanistan in 1970s. And
that's right.
Zbigniew Brzezinski was the one over there, you handing go. Him the weapons.
There you go. It's a Kissinger, Brzezinski, Maurice, well, I shouldn't say Maurice Strong. It's that cabal of globalists in that have been embedded in government since the early 1970s, actually since the time, well, all throughout history, but if we're talking about the current incarnation of it, the faces of the power still sucking air include Brzezinski and Kissinger, and we'll take them as bookends, we'll say, in this in the stable of globalists. These are the people who are responsible for the creating policy. And what's happening here is you've got, whether it's Bush on the right or Obama, Satoru on the left, you've got all of the people and the people around them who are creating the problem, who have created the problem within this, forming this Hegelian dialectic. And we are seeing this Hegelian dialectic play out in the Middle East. We are seeing Syria right now. And I got to tell you, Russia fired the missiles from their ships. You had touched on this yesterday during your pre-show. I'm going to tell you right now, this was a direct threat. This was a direct notice. By doing that, they put the United States, Russia, Putin, put the United States on notice, saying, we're not going to nuke ISIS. You see, that's no. We're coming after you, meaning us, the United States. We're coming after you. That's what this is all about. This was a show of force. And for those people who don't think that we're on the precipice of World War III, then you don't know history, or World War IV. I don't care what you want to call it. A world war. We're already in that war. Study not the revised BS history of World War I or World War II. Again, the revised BS history. Not the authorized version of history. Understand where we were in pre-war or in 1930s Germany time period, where we were before the assassination of the Archduke Ferdinand, which was the flame or the spark that ignited one of them. Okay, I get it. But you see, this is where we're at today. But ISIS over there was really created by the policies and practices of Obama, Clinton. And you know something? It astounds me. Why aren't the Gang of Eight, why aren't the people in power in this country, where are the 535 people holding accountable Hillary Clinton, Hillary Rodham Clinton? You know, Hillary Clinton will not suffer the consequences of Benghazi. Hillary Nope. Clinton will not suffer the consequences of the four dead Americans. And say what you will about them, Tyrone, Doherty, and Woods and such. Say what you will. Call them heroes, call them criminals. I've heard both sides.
Who is heroes or criminals?
The dead Benghazi.
Really?
Sure, because they're gun running. Look, Stevens, Ambassador Stevens had a Rolodex, and he had a Rolodex of the good guys and the bad guys, and he used them both. And he was in on the gun running as well. He came from Syria. Don't forget, where did Stevens come from?
He might have been committing a crime. But by no means does it deserve death.
Well, right, but where did Stevens come from? Where was his previous position before Libya? It was Syria. I mean, folks.
Meeting with Erdogan the night he died?
Yeah, not Erdogan.
The Turkish
ambassador.
Yeah.
Okay, so what we're saying here is, all of this is just one big theatrical performance. I wrote an article about this. You know the Lemmings, the Disney movie, the Lemmings, and they're jumping off the cliff. Well, there's actually a turntable, okay, where the Lemmings would hop on the turntable and be thrown off the cliff. And we are the Lemmings. You see, we're Lemmings at the precipice of World War, and it's up to you to gain the knowledge and gain the understanding and to really do your research to understand that this is a war that's being fomented between Russia and China and the United States
and Iran,
where the proxies are ISIS, but they're out of control proxies.
Yeah, okay. I heard a teaching yesterday, last night, watching a YouTube video about ISIS, specifically about ISIS. And if you go to our channel during any time, Dad, you can look at the viewing history, and it'll probably, it's in there somewhere from last night. But it talked about...
wait a minute. You're telling me, so every time I view, like, Leave It to Beaver on, it stays there?
You can clear it. And actually, anybody who subscribes to our station can look at our viewing history, I believe.
It doesn't matter.
But they talked about how they were given the teaching on Daniel, Revelation, and the end times, Antichrist, and they were explaining the different things from Daniel 2 and Daniel chapter 7 and 11 about what was said about the end times and what ISIS's role in the end times was. And he said ISIS is like a shooting star, which is going to hit its peak and then come down and be destroyed.
Who said this?
I don't remember his name.
A teacher, a prophecy teacher.
Yeah. He said it's going to be like a shooting star. It's going to burn quick, and it's going to be completely obliterated.
See,
because...
why?
He explained how ISIS,
right,
the old Ottoman Empire, and the old Assyrian Empire are all now seeing an opening for what... the old caliphate.
Right.
And or what Alexander the Great went for, or what the Crusades, what the Muslims took over, and what the Ottoman Empire had.
Right.
And this is why Constantinople and or Istanbul is so important.
Everybody
wants Turkey. And Erdogan is acting like a sultan. He thinks he's a sultan. This is according to Assad from his interview with Charlie Rose.
Exactly, and Erdogan is really shaping up to be the crazy, and of course, Russia, I think, from this, will break up NATO. I do believe NATO's days are numbered, and I think it's important to understand.
It was Dmitry Duneman's partner, or I don't know if you know who he is. I didn't know who he was. He was his assistant or friend. He was one of his very close...
Who are you talking about?
The guy I watched yesterday give the speech. He knew Dmitry Duneman and worked for him. Had a very close relationship with him and kind of picked up where he left off with the teaching prophecy and whatnot, if that helps. But, he said that Russia will destroy ISIS.
ISIS or NATO or both?
ISIS. He said ISIS. But he did say... America will be destroyed by Russia also.
And I believe that, but I also believe ISIS.
When we least expect it. And that was not only from his Bible prophecy teachings, but from a couple days before he died, Dmitry Duneman had a dream about Russia invading America. And his daughter would transcribe or write down some of the stuff towards the end, but he wouldn't let her write this down. And he explains this all in the video. And maybe tomorrow on the pre-show, I'll have the video name and stuff for everybody.
All right, we need to do that. And tomorrow night, Steve Quayle.
Right now, while you're talking,
Steve Quayle and Chip Tatum tomorrow night. I hope Chip will be available. I'm waiting on a confirmation, but that's the Steve Quayle and Chip Tatum tomorrow night. But ISIS is, to me, I don't believe it'll be destroyed. I believe it's here now. And I believe the significance of the name ISIS. Notice how many people want to change it to ISIL and are saying ISIL, ISIL, ISIL. Why is that? Number one, it's a direct slap against Israel, if you understand what the Levant is and why they're saying it. Number two, they want to draw attention away from ISIS, meaning their Babylonian god. And I do believe that there is a significance with the name ISIS, as we have talked about before, the acronym, and how it plays into the mythological and god, small g, worship. And don't forget, International Space Station kind of references ISIS.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of mythological / occultic meanings here.
And when think about it, every time we say the name or anybody says the name, is it evoking that spirit?
You know, okay.
And then we get into the...
So that could be... Hang on. All right. I'm better now. Excuse me. We can't edit this out, see? Now, that's like asking, well, the money in your pocket. The $1 bill was a great symbol. That's a talisman. So are we, by carrying it, are we creating that energy behind it? I don't know.
Yeah.
Are
we? I mean, it's something that I've been over in my head, 100,000 times. And I even went as far as to think maybe Obama doesn't say ISIS because he understands that.
Well, but no, ISIL is ISIL is really
it was ISIS, then it was ISIL, now it is called IS.
Well, and it depends on what IS is.
That's how the progression of the name change went.
Right,
but nobody adheres to those changes in names. ISIS is what it's been called and accepted as, and
you know, I got like a really bad cramp in my leg right now. Okay, so right. Just.
I happen to meet you.
Talk amongst yourselves here.
There's nothing like a Charlie horse while you're sitting in the here on the video.
And
the
see,
chair.
I would stand up, but I'm not wearing any pants, right?
No.
We've been accused of that. Which,
if you want to throw the video feed over
no,
here.
No, no, no. That's fine. That's fine. I'm joking around.
We got a hit on this, media refusing to cover the three eyewitness statements.
This is important,
contradicting
folks.
Contradicting
yeah.
the
yep, here it is.
San Bernardino shooter. Three white men. I don't know how many people remember during the active shooter situation in San Bernardino just recently, a couple weeks ago. Now, we did our live coverage of it for almost 2 hours that day. And what we saw were reports of two, three shooters. And
a couple of things. Just to give the listeners who are new, perhaps, or listening for the first time or didn't listen to the show, during that crisis, during that incident, we tapped into the San Bernardino County EMS feed, so you can listen to the EMS feed. And that's where we named the shooter. I think we were one of the first to name the shooters.
Yeah.
Okay, the shooter.
If not the first. Yeah.
Right. Then we tapped into the Twitter feed, using the tweet deck and such, and social networking, and really got down to it. So we were getting information right from the scene at the same time. We'll say CNN got it or others got it even before, perhaps. But you know, there were three accounts of three individuals. And now this Matt Agorist is the author of this. Media refusing to cover police and witness accounts of three white male shooters in San Bernardino. And this is what kind of Coach Dave Dallmeyer was referencing, maybe not this specifically, but in general.
Yeah, and we're going to hit right on that. The name of the video I watched is called The End of ISIS Imminent. Russia Will Wipe Them Off the Map.
Right.
And it is a presentation from...
Now, this is going back to what we were talking about before, just so people don't get confused.
I just want to make sure I get this out to people. Christadelphians worldwide. Okay. And their websites are BibleTruthProphecy.blogspot.
We're not promoting any of this.
No,
we're
no,
just
no.
telling you where this is coming from.
The YouTube video I'll post in our YouTube and BTR chats is called The End of ISIS Imminent. Russia Will Wipe Them Off the Map. Bible Prophecy Being Fulfilled. If anybody wants to watch it in an hour and 6 minutes, this will explain everything that I just mentioned about ISIS in the beginning of the video.
But ISIS is here to stay, maybe not in name, but in ideology, because ISIS reflects, in my view, professionally, ISIS reflects the fundamentalist or the accurate portrayal of Islam. That's what Islam is. See, we've been misled. People say Islam is a religion of peace, and they've got those coexist bumper stickers, which are crap. No, Islam is not a religion of peace any more than Christianity worships, you know, a moon god or a sun god. No, no, no. Islam is predicated off of Muhammad. Who, by documentation, was, and you can look this up, was a pedophile, Muhammad. Yeah, so instead of getting men's essence,
well, is that the
sent
truth?
To my office, it's going to be.
Is it the truth?
Severed heads.
Is it the truth?
Well, of course it is.
Well, then don't worry. Can't be scared of the truth.
No, no, okay. I'm not. You know, no,
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the people out there who might be offended by
but
it.
But see, okay, so this is what Coach Dave Dobmeier was talking about. The media is refusing to cover, and we heard these accounts initially, and, you know, the news comes. It's like watching a fast-rolling, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
And, it's just like, you know, wow, you got to. But anyway, this is true. Go ahead. Or this is.
Following the incident here, you know, there's. I haven't watched or read too much about the theories, different theories out there. I did see a video of the attorney of the Farouk family saying that things don't add up. It doesn't make sense. You know, the guy, they didn't understand where certain things came from, like the bombs and the gear, like the bulletproof vests and whatnot. They have no idea for either the woman or the man. They've never seen them before.
You cannot have an operation like this. I'm sorry. You cannot have an operation like this without support and backup. And I would say this, and we know in 2013, Saeed Farouk partnered with someone else, scoped out targets. And don't forget, he was a health inspector, and he was in the schools. This stinks to high heaven.
As to his involvement and his girlfriend or wife, is their involvement, I don't know. I believe he's involved in some capacity. Maybe he didn't know what was going on. Maybe he knew full well. But this article raises questions, and we'll hit it now.
You're gonna get into mind control?
No, I was just going to kind of stick to this. We got only 9 minutes left.
All right.
On the night of December 2nd, the tragic shooting at the Inland Regional Medical Center, CBS News interviewed a witness to the shooting. The interview took place over the phone, has not been covered by any other mainstream outlet, despite the vastly different details provided, which completely contradict the subsequent official narrative while backing up several other eyewitness accounts.
Witness Sally Abdel-Magid.
I don't know if I... Did I sound that out on the paper?
No, Abdel-Magid.
Abdel-Magid, who works for the Inland Regional Center and witnessed the shooting, spoke to CBS correspondent Scott Paley. During this interview, Paley asked Al-Magid to describe the shooters in detail. Sally replied that the shooters were three tall, athletic white men. There's a transcription.
Wearing BDUs, probably, right?
Yeah, they transcribed the interview. The reporter asks the witness, Sally, who works for the regional center, if she saw the attackers enter the building, and says they're speaking to her by phone. Sally says, I heard the shots fired, and it was, you know, from an automatic weapon. It was very unusual. Why would we hear shots? We look out the window, and second set of shots goes off, and it's pop, 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 pop.
Right.
We saw men fall to the floor. Then we just looked, and we saw three men dressed in all black military attire, wearing vests.
There you go.
They were holding assault rifles, and as soon as they opened the door to building three, and one of them opened up the door to building three, he started to spray shoot, you know, shoot all over the room that we typically have conferences in, and we just heard more gunshots go off. I got my phone, I reached for my phone, called 911, hid under the desk, didn't see any more, just heard gunshots go off. Anyway, ended up barricading herself in the office for more than an hour. So Scott asks, Sally, can you describe to me in as much detail as you can what the gunman looked like? I couldn't see his face. He had a black hat on, and from my view, all I could see was a black hat and black long sleeve shirt, possibly gloves on. He had black cargo pants on, the kind with the zippers on the side and big puffy pockets. He had a huge assault rifle and extra ammo. He was coming ready for something. To reload, I don't know. This is an Audible magazines. I couldn't see what else. I just saw three dressed exactly the same. You're certain you saw three men? This Scott asked. Sally says yes. It looked like their skin color was white. They looked like they were athletic and built and appeared to be tall. Now,
well, let me just interject one thing here, because if I don't, I'm going to forget it. Eyewitness accounts, folks, as investigators, anytime you have an incident happen, you can ask five people what they saw. You're going to get five different answers.
Right.
Let me just say one more thing. If you're at a scene, or just think about this. I'm just going to toss this out there. Think about this. If you are if you're on a farm, and you hear hoofbeats, a gallop.
Is that a car?
No. No. You hear a gallop. You turn around. You're expecting see what?
Horses.
A horse. You see a zebra. That's going to mess with your mind. Go ahead.
Yes, it is. Well, after the... and this article is done by a... from the Free Thought Project, a... Matt Arganist. They have a screenshot of... At 2:35 p.m. on the day of the shooting from a Fox 11 Los Angeles Twitter that went out. It says, breaking. Police... breaking. Reports of active shooter in San Bernardino. Police looking for three white males dressed in military gear. At least 20 injured. So from there...
And I do believe that we...
Mark Stute is the second worker of information technology for the county's public health department. His daughter called him from the scene and described the exact same thing. Three white men in all black, wearing vests and military tactical gear, came in and started shooting. Now, another strange facade to this already shady story is the fact that the SWAT team was holding an active shooter drill right next to where the shootings began. San Bernardino Police Department Richard Lougheed confirmed SWAT had been conducting training nearby. The team was suited and ready to roll as rapidly responded, according to Lougheed. What makes this drill noteworthy is that it's not the first time emergency drills for this exact scenario unfolding were taking place at the same time and moment the actual terrorist attack happened. Paris area emergency personnel and ambulance crews were taking part in simulated emergency exercises the very same day the Paris terrorist attack took place. Consequently, witnesses to the Paris attacks also said the attackers were white men, clean-shaven, and dressed in black. During the 9/11 attacks, NORAD was in the midst of training exercises called Vigilant Guardian, which coincidentally simulated planes being hijacked by terrorists. The London subway attacks of 7/7 encompassed drills happening only days prior to the terrorist attack. To add more mystery to the shooting, an attorney for the family describes numerous ways the official story of that horrible crime doesn't add up. There's a lot of disconnects and there's a lot of unknowns. There's a lot of things that quite frankly don't add up, insisted attorney David S. Chelsea, who represents the Farouk family. The article ends with this, a quote from Abraham Lincoln. And there's more in the article. There's another eyewitness account of the same thing. But the same day that the attorney for the family insisted the official story was full of holes, the FBI allowed dozens of reporters to trample and destroy the crime scene and made zero arrests. Now, I don't know if you saw this. 100 journalists were in that crime scene.
Oh, yeah.
And they were going through whatever they wanted
Unprecedented access, which...
I mean, literally, the cops took the evidence tape off the door, let these reporters in before this scene was processed, and the reporters started going through all their stuff.
I've never seen anything like this
before.
I mean, whoever was in charge of that crime scene should not just be fired, but should be charged with obstruction of justice, contamination of a crime scene, tampering with evidence, and so on.
And the article ends with a quote. It says... It's from Abraham Lincoln, famously said on numerous occasions after most likely learning this through trial and error himself. You can fool all of the people some of the time, and some of the people all of the time, but you cannot fool all of the people all of the time. And
Coach Dave Dobemeyer, we're being set up.
Yeah. So this is something to take into consideration. Go to the Free Thought Project and read the article from Matt Argrist and...
It's Agorist.
I'm sorry, and it's a good read, and bookmark it, because if you keep track of these sorts of things, this is just another, whether you know this is as you said, an eyewitness mistakes or whatever. This is just another example of not adding up.
It doesn't add up. We're being set up. It doesn't add up. We're being set up. This was really false flag. Perhaps when you say false flag, it has weird connotations to it. Was this organized? Was this scripted?
Were there motives behind the scene that we will never know?
Right.
Probably.
Exactly.
Folks, at the end of the show, tomorrow night, Chip Tatum, Steve Quayle will be on with us, and we will...
And John McTernan was on today with us. USAProphecy.com is his website, folks. Grab, as America has done to Israel. Tomorrow night, as you said, Chip Tatum, Steve Quayle. Next week, Ted Brower,
Greg Jackson,
also Greg Jackson,
and
book
more.
Giveaway.
Stay with us. Thank you, Global Star. Thanks, Eric. Thanks, JD. Thanks for listening, audience. Have a good night.
We're out of here.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.